Okay, please pray with me. Lord, open our hearts to see your mercy, which is far greater than we ever deserve. Amen. This morning, we're going to begin in the book of Jonah, and we're going to talk about the background of where we find Jonah today. Studying the people in the book of the Bible is so good for us because it helps us realize that God uses normal, broken people to do his work in the world. And Jonah is one of those really passionate, intense people who has ideas and opinions. He also tends to lean on a rather dramatic side when things are getting difficult. Despite that, or maybe because of it, the Lord uses him to change the lives of many, many people. He was asked by God to go to Nineveh to preach repentance, so he jumped on a boat and he went in the opposite direction. And God brought this large storm and he was thrown out into the sea, and God spared him with a giant fish swallowing him up and giving him time to think about it. And upon being spit out, he was ready to follow God. So here we are this morning. Jonah has gone to Nineveh, following God, preached repentance, and they have mildly received his warnings. Jonah was obedient to God, even though he believed that the people to be guilty and to deserve destruction. Sometimes following God means we trust his words, even if we're convinced of a particular outcome. Following God also means trusting his outcome for the situation. As we as a church reach out into the community, there are going to be times when things don't appear the way we hope they would. But fear not, our measure of success is not God's measure of success. We're wired as Americans to see success in numbers and people. God, however, looks for openings in the hearts of people, and he values the recovery of at least one of these. He seeks out the one and rejoices over the lost one being found. So for the small opening in the hearts of the people of Nineveh, God decided to extend mercy, and he promises not to destroy them. So Jonah's response is what? He's one of anger. He's angry. I knew you wouldn't do anything, and that is why I ran away. Jonah wanted restitution for the people's sin, and God was extending mercy. He then sets up this camp on the edge of town, hoping to get a good seat for their destruction. He removes himself from the people. God sent him to the people, said, go be among them, preach to them. And he takes himself out of the people, and he goes up on this hill. And he's over here in Mesopotamia. So it's very dry, it's very arid. There would have been no trees in that area for him to go under. So he's removed himself out to the desert, and there he is, probably building some stones. And he has no shade. And the Lord, he's there for to see destruction and delight in one thing. And the Lord, however, has this different plan, a plan of mercy. God sees him and sends a vine to come up around Jonah and provides for him. He's content and he's thankful for the vine. The next day, however, God sends a worm to eat up this vine. And Jonah, once again, is angry. How could God take away his vine? He's so angry that he asks God if he could just die. Jonah reminds me a little of a toddler. He has these ideas of how things should go. He doesn't usually communicate them until it's a little too late. And he throws himself down in despair over the real situation. But Jonah is also a fine example to us of being in the process of holiness. He keeps coming back to the Lord in conversation, despite his intense feelings on the situation. And how does God respond to this over-emotional guy in front of him? With love and mercy. Despite his own fumbling of all these situations, God uses that vine to show Jonah compassion for God's people. Jonah loves the vine, the thing, for its comfort. However, God loves the people because they were made in his image, and he loves them dearly. Our God is a lover of humanity. Whether they're white or black or brown, God loves restoring people and extending them mercy. He delights in even one of these in finding him. And he always, always chooses people over things. Because God loves Jonah, he's trying to correct his distorted view. His values were just a little mixed up. Are we like Jonah? Are our values sometimes distorted? Do we hate our enemies and wish or pray ill for them while accepting forgiveness and grace for ourselves? I'm reading this book right now, and I was walking through the library a couple of weeks ago, and I was asking the Lord, what do I need to read? And I was walking along, and I saw this book sticking out, and it was a book written by Pope Francis, and it was called The Name of God is Mercy. And it was the title that caught my attention, is The Name of God is Mercy. And I picked up this book, and I've been reading it. And then Father Chris came to me and said, I want you to preach, and here are the passages. And I just sat there and said, he is so good. Because in this book, Pope Francis says, to follow the way of the Lord, the church is called on to pour its mercy over all those who recognize themselves as sinners and who assume responsibility for the evil that they have committed and who feel in need of forgiveness. The church does not exist to condemn people, but to bring about an encounter with the visceral love of God's mercy. He goes on and talk about doing this so that by going out to the people where they are and viewing our churches like a hospital, is being a place where people encounter the love of God through you, through me. So at one point, you know, we obviously have a big family, and you all know that. At one point in our family's journey of church attendance, we realized that we were not necessarily the most cheerful people when we got to church because we were bickering and fighting the whole way to church. The frustrations of getting everyone ready and out the door in time were the prevailing conversation in the car. I don't know what happens to shoes on Sunday, but shoes seem to disappear on Sundays. So by the time we arrived at church, we were all annoyed and frustrated and hurt by the things that were said in the car. And God in his mercy showed us that it was time to change. So now, instead of bickering with each other, we listen to worship music on the way to church. And I talk to the kids about preparing our hearts to love others with Christ's love. And then I spend quite a bit of time begging God to give me energy that I need to train up the kids in the pew and still give myself to other people in the church. Without doing this, I would get so frustrated and so angry and so overwhelmed with the task of raising up our family. Now, every Sunday isn't perfect, but it's a whole lot better than it used to be before. God's mercy is always extended when we put ourselves down in front of him, when we ask him, where do we go? What do we do? Our gospel today, so we have the Jonah passage and we have gospel. The gospel today is very, very similar to the story of Jonah in that the master of the house has incredible compassion on the workers. Jesus tells this incredible story of love and generosity and mind-blowing mercy. Because the society that these servants were living in, they didn't have trade unions. They didn't have welfare provisions. To work meant you starved, or to not work meant that you starved. These people were in the market to make enough money to put food on their table just for that day, and maybe a little bit for tomorrow. And if they weren't chosen for work, they wouldn't eat and their children wouldn't eat. So So on the side of the master of the house, provisions were limited. And you would never want to hire more people than you needed. If a job could be done with fewer workers, getting paid less, then the better the situation. No one really had enormous wealth back then. Most people were just on the edge. And the fact that this master chose more workers later in the day, and then he lavishly paid them the same, is incredible and mind-blowing. The people sitting around Jesus listening to this would have really struggled with this level of mercy. Life was difficult, and softness and generosity were rarely a part of everyday life. But even more extraordinary was the rate of pay, which made no economic sense, and understandably provoked a lot of grumbling among those who felt unfairly treated. But it was not unfair, of course. No one was underpaid. It was just that some were treated with this sort of unreasonable generosity. Jesus says today that this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. God's grace is not limited by our ideas of fairness. His gifts are far beyond what we can deserve. For those of us who have been in the wider church for a really long time, it can be easy to view people in proportion to their perceived sin. Sometimes we are like the disciples, this is who Jesus is talking to, and we can get caught up in viewing ourselves as in with God and as others as out with God. The gospel today, however, reminds us to remember our place. To remember that there really is not that wide of a difference between us, for we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is a season for Father Chris and I that we lived across the street from an unmarried, crack-addicted couple raising very small children. It was one of the hardest seasons of my life. Harriet, I was at home all day long raising these really small kids who couldn't run real fast if the situation got really bad. And I was begging God for a vision of godly parenting, and I was watching these horrific evil things happen just outside my front door. I couldn't understand how they would willingly choose that life. And one day, while I was silently berating inside my heart the mother of the children, God interrupted me. And he showed me a moment when I had lashed out at my children in anger. He then quietly said, "You really aren't different in your heart. Here you judge her, and that's not your place. You both need me, and you both can receive mercy if you only ask." God is so good. And he will never leave us. In that book I was talking about before, it said we need to ask for the grace to recognize ourselves as sinners. Because the more we acknowledge that we are in need, the more shame and the more humility that we feel, the sooner that we will feel his embrace of grace. Jesus, he like waits for us, and he goes ahead of us, and he extends his hand out to us, and he is patient with us. God is faithful. And mercy cannot be contained, and it's not given out in these small little portions. There's no end to God's mercy. His love for you, or for that neighbor who maybe drives you nuts, or that notorious sinner that you think should get it from God, will not be limited. It is God's very nature to extend love and mercy to those who even open their heart just a tiny bit. It just takes this small action of turning away from sin and acknowledging it before God. God desires so very much to extend you mercy if you would only run to him with your sin. And it doesn't matter how long or how much you've sinned, God wants to restore you and he wants to give you freedom from the bondage of sin. So yes, we're talking about those really big, hairy sins, you know, a big, long list in the Bible, there's lots of them, and that you never want to say out loud, and then we're talking about these smaller sins of judgment and envy and jealousy. All of it matters to God, and all of it keeps us from God. We all need mercy because every one of us are sinners. Jonah needed God's love to see the misorientation of his heart. And the people around Jesus needed to hear the Master's radical gift of mercy. So if this gift of mercy and love is supposed to change the world and draw people to God, who might God be calling you to share it with this week? There's this class going to be, it's going to be a little plug. There's this class going to be offered on Wednesday nights. If you don't normally come to Wednesday nights, I would really, really encourage you to try and go. Father Chris is going to be teaching on a book, and for short they call it Bells. And it's a book that talks about encouraging you to reach other people with the message of Jesus. And it's really simple. It's not complicated at all. It's this beautiful, simple way of sharing the faith. And it gives you a really big idea bank for reaching other people. So I encourage you to go. I know the man teaching it. So how might God want you to extend his kingdom of mercy to someone in your life? Does someone irritate you? Or do you want to hide when you see them coming? Is there someone you see as you venture out into the community that might need God's message of hope and mercy? Is there someone that you can serve this week? I know that you all have been dealing with the hurricane and with the effects of it, and I know that it has affected each one of you very differently. Some of you will be working for quite some time, but some of you may have more time or attention or space in your life. Is there someone you can serve? Possibly by praying or providing a meal or offering your time and work. God wants us to use our faith and to put it in action every single day of the year. So this week, may God open opportunities in your lives and in mine to share God's radical mercy with others. May God open our eyes to see ways to serve and encourage others. And may God give us readiness to turn to him with our sin so that we might be constantly drawn back into his grace. To God be the glory, now and forever. Amen.